This nation is still, in my opinion, the greatest nation upon the face of the earth, and it will only remain so as long as we are supportive of our people and of one another, and that we do that with love in our hearts and not hatred, that we do that for concern, not only for our people, but for all the peoples of the earth, and remain human beings, and to teach and to tell other people that same thing. There is no substitute for love. Let's just be honest with you. There is no substitute for love. And love will cover a multitude of sin. Promise you that by the word of the Lord. So my deep appreciation to each one of you who were here and recognized this morning for your service to us, to this great nation, and I always feel like that it's never inappropriate for us to sing the Star Spangled Banner. It's never inappropriate for us to sing the Battle Hymn of the Republic, in spite of the latest edition doesn't call it that. And there's a reason they don't. We're trying to get away. Look at your hymnal and see how many of the blood songs are now no longer blood songs. The Battle Hymn of the Republic is what it was called. It was not, and America was just that, America. But we subtly make these changes to accommodate people who are a little more liberal than most of us are, just to be very frank about it. So it's no big deal. You know, I change a lot of things myself, we need to do some things. But we also need to have sometimes an understanding of why we're doing things. I want to read to you for just a few minutes out of the Word of the Lord. I thought a long time about what I was going to use this morning in line with Veterans Day, and this is probably the farthest thing from being appropriate for Veterans Day. But I would just say this, that in some respects, maybe it isn't. Over in the Old Testament, in the first book of Samuel, and in the 17th chapter, you have the portion of the Word of the Lord concerning David and the battle with the Philistine giant Goliath. And I want to pick up, because I just have a very short amount of time, I want to pick up with where David has gone down to check on his brothers. He has three brothers who are fighting in the army of Israel in opposition to the army of the Philistines. And the army of the Philistines has a 9'3", 9'5" guy in their company that has come out for 40 days, and he has challenged the army of Israel to send out a man to fight against him. And he comes out there and he says, "Give me a man that we may fight together." And if he beats me, if he kills me, then the army of the Philistines will be subject unto the army of Israel. However, if I kill the representative that you send out, then Israel will be subject unto the Philistines. And for 40 days, he's come out there, and every time he comes out, why, the army of Israel flees from the valley and goes back up on the mountainside and waits there. And while they're up there, David is sent by his father down to check on his three brothers to see how they're doing. And David comes down, and he brings some provisions with him as his father has instructed him. And in the 26th verse, it says, "And David spake to the men that stood by him, saying, What shall be done to the man that killeth this Philistine and take away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God?" Now keep in mind that David is still just a young lad. But his perception of what is going on here far exceeds that of his brothers. They're down there, and as far as they're concerned, they're down there fighting a battle against the Philistines as to who's going to have dominance. But David says, who is this man that defies the armies of the living God? See, he's got a totally different take on this. I would suspect that if you were to ask every single one of these men this morning who stood up there why they were in the service of our country and what they were fighting for, that you might have had some different perspectives from them. And that's okay. That's all right. If I were to ask each one of you who have not served, you would have probably still a totally different perspective. And some of you would be in that group who were very supportive of our military and whatever the campaign was, and some of you who would be an objector regardless of what it's been. And that's a beauty of this great country of ours, that we have both. I many times say, you know, I don't agree with a person on what they believe or what they think, but I do respect their right to believe that, and they have a right to believe it. The Bible says, and I can see, I can scripturally verify what I'm going to say here. The Bible says that God will allow a person to believe a lie and be damned if they so choose. Yeah. So, you know, I can't dictate to everyone, and it's not my responsibility to dictate everyone what your perception is of some things. But see, David said, who is this Philistine giant that comes out here, this uncircumcised person who comes out here and defies the armies of the living God? What have we done? And the people answered him after this manner, saying, so shall it be done to the man that killeth him. And Eliab, see, the king has made a proclamation, a decree, says, you know, whoever goes out here and fights against him and wins for us, why, he said he'll be made he'll be made wealthy. I'll give him my daughter, and I'll set him up to be a ruler in the kingdom. So, you know, pretty good rewards, but nobody was willing to take the chance, because if you're dead, it isn't going to matter how much the king had offered you. You know, and these old boys were out here, and they knew that the Philistines had a champion out there. Anyway, they explained to David what was going to happen, and Eliab, his eldest brother, heard when he spake unto the men, and Eliab's anger was kindled against David, and he said, why camest thou down hither? What are you doing down here? Now keep in mind, this is David's oldest brother, and he's in the army of Israel. He's a military man. He and two of his younger brothers are in, the three oldest of Jesse's children are all three in the army here. And they've been out here and they've been trying, and they're ready to go out here and to fight the battle, but they haven't done it yet. Because every time the Philistine giant comes out, it scares them and they run back. They retreat. So his brother says to him, and he was angry. He said, what? Why camest thou down hither? And with whom hast thou left those few sheep in the wilderness? Now see, first of all, he's mad because David is down here. Now there's something that I'm going to just tell you right now, so you don't have to sit there in suspense and wonder what I'm thinking here. These three brothers who should have gone out there and fought weren't going to do it. That's proven fact. They should have been the one to go out there and fight, but they weren't going to do it. And when someone comes along who's willing to do it, they're not going to help them one bit. They're going to do everything they can to find fault with what's being done. And let me tell you something, if that's not typical of God's people today, I don't know anything that is. They're not going to do anything themselves, but you get somebody who's willing to do a little something and they'll nitpick them to death. They'll find every fault there is about them and they'll complain about everything that's done. It's not done right. It's not done the way it should be. Not done the way they want it to be done. But I'll guarantee they're not going to lift a finger to do anything. Well, I didn't hear any big amen, so I guess probably nobody agreed with me. That's all right. That's the voice of the experience speaking. I know what I'm talking about. What are you doing down here, first of all? You know, you don't have any business being down here. And second, you aren't doing what you're supposed to be doing because you're a shepherd boy and you're supposed to be back there taking care of those sheep. Who have you left those sheep to be taken care of? They really concerned all at once about those sheep. Let me tell you something. Before David ever left down there, he had taken care of them. You go back over and you check the word of the Lord and you'll find out that before he ever came down there, he took care of those sheep and they were provided for. Before he ever left, he had taken care of them. Sometimes people get the idea that we don't know what our business is and that we should be doing something they think you should be doing, and they don't realize what is all going on. I know thy pride and the naughtiness of thine heart, for thou art come down that thou mightest see the battle. I know what you're doing down here. That's what his brother's saying to him now. You down here, I know exactly why you're down. You just come down here to see what was going on. Well, unfortunately, there wasn't much going on. Because his brothers weren't doing what they should have been doing. They weren't out here fighting as they should have been fighting. God would have provided for them just the same as he'll provide for David. The problem was they didn't have enough faith to believe that. Our people today, many times, don't have enough faith to believe God can really do what he promises he will do in his word. Oh, he'll do it for somebody else. He'll do it for you. He'll do it for this one. He does it for that one. But he doesn't do that for me. Now listen. And David said, "What have I now done?" You know, I can just hear him say, what have I done now? Why are you so upset with me? I came down here because my father sent me down here to check to see how you guys were getting along and to bring you some provision. And I come down here and I get down here and I see what's going on, and now you're all mad and a tizzy about it. The bottom line was they were in a tizzy because they knew they weren't doing what they should have been doing. And now then they've got a little brother who's come down here and he's saying, "By golly, you know what? There's something wrong here. There should have been somebody who stood up for this old boy. Because he has defied the army of the living God." I'm going to skip. I've got to quit. And anyway, and you all know this. You know what happens. I mean, this isn't any great mystery out of the word of the Lord. If there's anything in here that you all have probably ever remember, you know that David's going to go out here and fight against the Philistine giant, and he's going to win the battle. But there's a couple of things that you need to understand before you just jump over to that. You know, David asks again, he says, you know, what's going on and what's going to be the result here? And finally he says, "Well, you know what?" He said, "If none of the rest of you do it, I'll go out there and fight against him." Now, if that's not the most improbable person to go out there and fight, I don't know who would be. He is not a professional soldier. He has not been properly trained. Every one of these men who stood up here this morning, two and one, had some training before they were put out there on the front. There wasn't a one. Was any of you here just went straight from the farm out here and went right straight to the front battle line if you went to the battle line? No. Our military is smarter than that. I mean, some of you may have been as good as shots as I was. I remember I had to take ROTC when I was in college, and we had a big old farm boy, and they were out teaching us to throw hand grenades. And this old boy, you know, he's big. He's probably 6'5", and he probably weighs 300 pounds. And they give him this little hand grenade, and he just haul up, throws it off like that, you know, like a baseball. It goes clear out over where it's not supposed to, you know. And that officer, he was just in a tizzy, you know. That was not the proper way to do it. Well, that old boy got it out there. That was his goal, you know. Well, you know, you learn to do some things, I'm sure, properly and in the right way. I learned a little bit while I was there. I learned how that I was supposed to salute every person who was in uniform that ranked on me. And I hated that. Anyway, you know, here he is. He's an unlikely person. But he's out here. He's young. He's inexperienced. But he says, you know what? Somebody has to go out there and fight against him. Because he has defied the God of the army of Israel. My God. And he said, I'll go out there and fight against him. So they finally say, okay, you go. But now before you go, we're gonna give you our equipment, you know, we're gonna get you all dressed up here, we're gonna get you suited up. And they put the armor on David, and it doesn't fit him. It doesn't fit him. Rather than being a help to him, it was a hindrance to him. Let me just tell you all one thing. Now, God saved every single one of you as an individual. Every one of you. No two of you are exactly alike. Identical twins are not exactly alike. I tell that from experience. My mom was an identical twin. I can look at pictures of her when she was growing up, and I can't tell which was my mom. As my mom got older and my Aunt Ellen got older, they started again looking more alike. But they were never identical. You know, we call them identical. No, two of us are ever alike. God did not make any one of us like somebody else. We are unique. Why then, in heaven's name, do we think that every time God gives us something to do, we've got to do it exactly the way somebody else does it? If he had wanted us all to do it exactly alike, he'd have made us all exactly alike so we could have done it that way. David couldn't go with this armor. It didn't fit him. What fits me won't fit you. I can't. I work and I'm trying to do better to stay up here. But it's hard for me to do that. For all my years I've been preaching, you know, I've wandered around all over. A friend back in Nashville, when I went back and preached, they'd never seen anything like that, I guess. But someone walking all the way down the aisle, and he said, I've never seen anything like that before in my life. And I kiddingly said to him, I said, well, I come back here once in a while, see if it's as good back here as it is up there. But anyway, he said, you're such a simple preacher. And I said, well, I am. I'm pretty simple, all right, you know. But he said, well, I didn't mean it that way, you know. And I said, well, and you're right. Anyway, listen, David couldn't use the armor that someone else was trying to put on him. You cannot take and use what someone else is trying to give you. Let God equip you. Take that which you have proved, take that which you have tested, take that which you know, and go and do the job. And that's what David did. He says, I can't handle this. So he took the armor off. He grabbed his slingshot, got him, what, 5 stones, wasn't it? Was it 5, wasn't it? Yeah, he got 5. Because he figured that Goliath had 4 brothers and he'd just get them all. No, that's not in the scripture. Don't go out here and tell that on me. Anyway, he took what he knew, what he had tested, and what he had proved. And most importantly, when he went out there to fight against the giant, he said, you know, you come to me with a sword and with a shield and all of this paraphernalia. I come to you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Yeah, I've got the Lord with me. And that's what you need with you all the time. Come on, let's sing. I'm late, but go home and read the rest of this chapter. Read it all. Go back and read the first part of it too, as well as the rest of it. And I think that you'll get a different perspective on this than maybe you've ever had before. While we stand, while we sing, if you're here this morning, God's spoken to your heart, listen to him, let him have his way with you. That's all I can ask you to do.